Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you will turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. We will begin reading at verse 25 and read to the end of the chapter, verse 32. Now, here at Central, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice. To know God's will and God's way, we are dependent upon God's Word. There he tells us what we should believe and how he wants us to live our lives, particularly in relationship to each other and to him. Our scripture for this morning especially focuses on our relationship to each other. Hear what God says to us in this portion of his word. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Our meditation this morning is entitled, The Junk in Our Emotional Basement. Our text is verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father, open our hearts and minds to understand precisely what the Scripture is saying to us. And in the understanding of it, empower us to live it out. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Going to bed angry isn't much fun. You lie there and like a dog worrying a bone, your mind keeps going over and over whatever you are angry about. Usually being angry involves some other person. And if you are, as I, you finally think of all the things you wish you had said or wish you hadn't said, and you think finally of all the things you wish you had done or the things you wish you had not done. Your mind is in a whirl, your body gets tense, and sleep is about the last thing that's going to happen to you for a while. I know very well in describing going to bed angry, everyone here has had that experience. So let me quickly point out three things from our scripture that it tells us this morning. First, in verse 26, it says, "In your anger, do not sin." Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you no longer have any emotions. I find that I still have the whole spectrum of emotions and feelings that I always had. The difference is that now I have a resource for dealing with my emotions and controlling them. And I dread to think what kind of person I would be if I didn't have some control over the things in my life. And the real question about anger is whether it controls me or I control it. Isn't that true in your life? For example, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, does it make you angry? You know, out in California, they're shooting each other now for doing that sort of thing. But as a Christian, you control your anger rather than letting it dominate and control you. You don't do something foolish in return just because you're angry. Or what if somebody steps in front of you in a line where you're waiting? Does that make you angry? Of course it does. But as a Christian, how do you handle that anger? So the first thing verse 26 tells us is not to sin in our anger. And then a second thing it says is, and do not give the devil a foothold. You know, it's a terrible thing when we let the devil get a foothold in our lives. Once he gets that foothold, it seems that more and more he takes over control of areas of our lives. For example, people say that redheads are hot-tempered. People say that artists are temperamental. And people say a lot of other things like that that aren't true either. You see, the fact is, people are what they let themselves be. If you want to be hot-tempered, you can be. If you want to be temperamental, you can let that happen to you. But it isn't because you have red hair or because you are an artist or any other special category. No, you have that characteristic because you choose to have it. You permit it to happen. If you wished, you could choose to do otherwise. Instead, we let the devil get that kind of a foothold in our lives. Here's another illustration from our scripture this morning. The Bible says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Do you know people who habitually use dirty language? Is it because they can't help themselves? No. As a matter of fact, they choose to let dirty language become a habit. They choose to speak that way. And they could choose not to speak that way. I've had people say to me, I can't help myself. I can't keep from talking that way. And that's foolishness. You can choose to talk any way you please. But if you let the devil get a foothold, he will invade more and more of your life. Back in the 1850s, Christianity was in pretty bad shape in America. At Princeton, a school founded by Presbyterians, only three persons could be found who admitted to being Christians. They held secret meetings from time to time and kept the record of their meetings in code so no one would know what was going on. Dirty speech clubs were actually formed. Vileness was rampant in America because America chose to be vile. But a few years later, when a great awakening had swept across America, all of that had vanished. The devil had lost his foothold. Why? Because, swept by the Holy Spirit, people chose not to be that way anymore. In Wales, crime fell so dramatically as the great awakening swept across that country that the policemen no longer had any work to do. They formed quartets and made themselves available to churches to go sing. Down in the mines, where the mules pulled the coal carts as the miners loaded them, for 3 weeks there was a slowdown in the mines because the mules didn't understand the workers anymore. Their language had cleaned up so. And you know, it's interesting that the Bible indicates that anger is the basis of many of the things we do. It says we're to put off falsehood. We're to stop stealing. We must stop using bad language, all because we are angry. I thought about that. I had never really realized it before. Maybe a person steals because he's angry that you have something he doesn't have, or maybe he's angry because there's something he wants and he doesn't have it. Maybe a person curses and swears because that's the way of venting a deep hostility, a deep anger.
And then the Bible says that acting like that grieves the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says not to sin when we get angry. And it says don't give the devil a foothold in our emotional lives. And then the third thing it says is this. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And then it goes on to describe all kinds of anger. And I never realized there were so many different ways that anger could find expression. It goes on to say, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Isn't that interesting? All of those words describe some form of anger. Bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, malice. Now, it is the third admonition of the Bible that I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about not letting the sun go down on your anger. Psychologists have developed some rules for fighting that are very helpful. Particularly if you are a couple, they could be very important in your life, or in your family, these rules for fighting could be important. Now, the first rule for fighting is this. You must make a date to fight. Now, there's a good reason for that. Suppose a man comes home and he's angry about something his wife has done, but she's busy fixing dinner and maybe helping the children with their homework and trying to get the baby down for the evening, and that's not a fair time to fight. And if a man picks a fight right then, there's no way it's going to have a good outcome. So when you're angry, the first rule is you must make a date to fight. Now the second rule is you must say what you're going to fight about. With both sides ready to fight, you have to know what you're fighting about. So the person who is angry and wants to fight must say what he wants to fight about. That way the other person can get his defenses all ready. The third rule is that once the fight starts, that's all you can fight about. You see, when I picked a fight, said what I wanted to fight about, and then discover that my wife has a really good reason for doing what she did that made me angry, the fact is I don't like to lose a fight. So I say something like this. Well, you may not have done so and so, but you're always doing this or that. And she says, well, if you want to fight about this and that, you have to make another date. Or the wife may be losing the fight because she's really guilty of whatever. So she says, well, I may do whatever, but you're always doing something or other. And so the husband says, yes, but we're fighting about whatever. And if you want to fight about my doing something or other, you will have to make a date to fight about that. Then the fourth rule for fighting is this. When you're angry, you can't let the sun go down on your anger. You must resolve it. You must work out some compromise, some solution, even if you have to stay up all night. But the fifth rule for fighting, and this is the one I wanted to get to, is this. You must fight when you are angry. You see, this is what our scripture is really talking about this morning. A lot of us are guilty of storing our anger in our emotional basement. Some years ago, a lady came to me in great distress. Her husband, without warning, had suddenly packed up and left her. Everyone, including me, thought they had a wonderful marriage. But as it turned out, he had been storing anger in his emotional basement for 20 years. Finally, the basement got full, and his emotional basement just blew up. And that's when he walked out. All those years, instead of instead of working on his anger, instead of getting it out in the open and confronting it and dealing with it, admitting his anger and frustration, he had packed it away in his emotional basement until there was just an implosion and everything collapsed. Have you seen on TV those buildings that they're destroying and they place dynamite at strategic places and set it off and there's an implosion and the building just collapses? And that's what happened to his marriage. Does that begin to make some sense to you? You know, I tend to be a pack rat. I tend to keep things, a piece of rope, a piece of lumber, a box, whatever. It might come in handy. And whatever else happens, you know, I might need it. But then I married an unpack rat. And the first thing Sydney did when we got married was clean out the basement. That was really traumatic. I had all sorts of treasures down there. There were old suits I couldn't bear to part with, old magazines, broken pieces of furniture I would one day fix. All sorts of wonderful things. Out the wind. At first, I felt a great sense of loss because I just knew there would be something there I really needed. And actually, I never did. Now, a lot of us are going through life with an emotional basement full of junk. We have a lot of psychological clutter and debris. There are old wounds, old hurts, old failures, old fears, and especially old angers that are cluttering up our lives. And somehow they keep tripping us up, holding us back, keeping us from growing and maturing and getting on with life. Do you have a lot of junk in your emotional basement? The Bible says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do you remember in the Old Testament the story of Lot? God told Lot to get out of Sodom because he was going to destroy that city. But the Bible says of Lot in the RSV translation, it says, but he lingered. You know, that's almost good as murmuring. He lingered. Are you guilty of doing that about bad things in your life? Have you lingered emotionally over things you need to clear out of your basement and put behind you? But Lot's wife was even worse. The Bible says it was so hard for her to let go of the past that she not only lingered, she looked back. And do you know what? Looking back destroyed her. It destroyed her. And do you know what? I've known people like that. There are people who keep on looking back. People who keep on looking back on what's already happened. And it destroys them and whoever's related to them. Do you know something? Looking back keeps you from living in today. You keep living in the past. Jesus once said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Do you know what one of the most serious difficulties in human relationships is? It's lingering. It's looking back. In a marriage, sometimes we're guilty of lingering and looking back. I've seen so many marriages destroyed because somebody was lingering on things that had happened and had not put them behind them. Lingering is bad in a family. Lingering over past hurts, past angers, past slights, past events, that can do incredible things to a marriage, to a family, to a friendship. St. Paul once wrote, forgetting those things that lie behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. Now, you can't press on if you're lingering. Let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you cutting the ties to whatever binds you to the past in order to follow Jesus, in order to heal broken relationships, in order to heal the relationships with those whom you love? Do you remember what our memory verse for this morning is? It says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you." Now that's a no lingering verse. Kind and compassionate, forgetting what lies behind. Let me ask you another question. When you die and stand before God, do you want Him to remember everything you've done? Do you want Him to remember every little detail of all the bad things you have ever done? Of course not. But our memory verse says, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. God isn't a lingering God. He forgets our sins. Well, it's hard to forgive and forget, isn't it? It's so very difficult to put the past behind us, to forget old wounds and sores, old words that have hurt us, old deeds that still leave a festering in our souls. And do you know what else? On my own, I can't cut those things. I can't put them behind me. On my own, I can't stop lingering. No matter how hard I try, on my own, I just can't do it. Isn't that true in your life? But let me tell you a secret. As a Christian, you have something wonderful that others don't have. You have a power at work in your life that helps you, that equips you, that empowers you to do away with anger. Did you know? When you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and when you've made your heart vulnerable to Him, that is, when you've given Him control of your life, He does an incredible and wonderful thing. And do you know what it is? He fills you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet with His Holy Spirit. Well, that means you have the very power, the dunamis of our God working in your heart and in your life. And while on my own, I can't forgive and I can't forget, with God's power, with God's Spirit, He equips me, He empowers me to clean out my emotional basement. Do you know the Holy Spirit turns out to be an unpack rat? By His power, you can clean out the junk in the basement of your soul. Do you know what else? When we don't let God's power do that in our lives, it does something to God. The Bible says it grieves the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? That's exactly what our text for this morning says. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And then it adds, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice." By the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, we can clean out the junk in our emotional basement. And then by His power, we can be kind, we can be compassionate, we can be forgiving, just as in Christ God forgave us. Is there some anger in your soul this morning? Is there something someone has done to you that's wounded you and hurt you? Is there something somebody has said to you, and it's built up a festering wound, a festering sore in your soul? Then by the power of the Holy Spirit, get that thing out of your life. Mend that relationship with the person with whom you've broken your relationship. Maybe you need to go home and write some letters. Maybe you need to make some phone calls. But by the power of your Holy Spirit, let that junk be taken out of your basement, put behind you, and don't linger any longer. In the beginning, I said we could choose. You can be what you decide you want to be. You can choose to be angry. You can choose to carry bitterness and malice and a grudge. You can choose to let anger control you. You can choose, as the Bible says, to let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Yes, we have a choice. And we have a choice because we can choose to let anger control us, or we can choose to let the Holy Spirit of God control us. That's a choice you have. What choice will you make? Let us pray.